Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show. I am your host, Ivana E.L. Silver, and my mission is to uplift the spirit of humanity. Sounds massive, and I do this by showcasing amazing women who've risen from tragedy to triumph, from a point of chaos, often to confidence, and have now risen to success and are making a huge contribution to their community and globally. So my background for doing this work is a female founder myself, an entrepreneur, certified executive coach, and chartered HR professional. So I've helped thousands of people over the years, provide them with excellent career choices, helped coach women in particular over the past 10 years, supporting them to excel in leadership, and especially in their confidence. That's my area of expertise, words, women, and wisdom, the modern art of confident conversations. So today I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders that are ready to flourish in business, to expand and engage their team, grow their business with ideal clients, and ultimately have more sales for a sustainable business that is fun. Because I believe we can have balance for female entrepreneurs and still be great role models for our children. So I'm delighted today to be joined by one of those extremely successful women entrepreneurs who also believes that business is fun and you can significantly expand and have more sales. So I'm delighted today to invite my guest, Susie Carter, to join me. Welcome, Susie.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you for, inviting me to make a difference for your tribe and your community, but more importantly, Yvonne, thanks for everything you do. It takes a village. And I love this time in history. We're all supporting each other. We're all playing big together. So it makes my heart full. It makes my heart happy.
Well, it makes my heart happy just looking at the background wall in your office there. So it's all about, it's all about working with passion, authenticity, purpose, and ultimately that leads to our success, a juicy lifestyle with profit, possibility, commitment, abundance, faith, and all the good stuff in life.
So, all the good stuff, and the well-behaved women seldom make history. So I'm just giving us permission to be crazy, be radical, and be rule breakers to live our dreams.
Rule breakers, here we are. Yes,
rule breakers.
Well, I was really, really thrilled to have a chance in January to meet with you at the EBC retreat. It was a great group lunch that some of the ladies shared. Lovely ladies, and then to have the opportunity to sit over some appies and talk business for an hour of your time was truly, truly delightful. You showed me so much in a short space of time that I really thought it would be extremely valuable to share some of this wisdom on the show with my VIP Words and Women and Wisdom community. So here we are, a couple of months later. Yeah,
I think the reality is business doesn't have to be hard. Right. When you know the system can really allow it to be easier. Right. What's hard is making our commitment. What's hard is doing the things daily. What's hard is, having that focus. What's hard is creating that team around you to support you. Right. So it doesn't have to be hard when you understand the system. Like, we use systems in everything we do as women. Right. When you look at how we cook, if you cook, some people don't, but we use a system. Right. There's a recipe. So I believe there's a recipe for business that I had to struggle and try to figure out myself. And so my commitment, my passion is, let me help you. If you won't make the same mistakes I've made, you'll make different ones, but at least you'll have a tribe and a community that can help you while you're in this learning phase of building a business, building a lifestyle that relies on you, right? It relies on me in this instance.
Well, I got to experience that firsthand over, I think it was a whiskey sour or traditional and some appies, as you literally whipped through your system and reshaped some of my business plan for this year, which is going very well. Thank you very much.
Yay. I'm so happy.
Yay. So let's do your formal intro, because you and I met. I listened to you also speak at the EBC retreat, so I know lots about you, but the listeners don't. So Susie Carter started out, maybe I won't share all this part. Oh, I want to leave something for surprise. But suffice to say that you were working in a low-paid job, with your children to support, and deciding that working for someone else was a bit of a challenge. I'd love to hear that story. So you decided to leave and start your own business. So there must have been a whole ton of blood, sweat, and tears mixed up, because you went on to create not just one, but two $10 million companies. Now, I know of you from some of the people that you've worked with, top business moguls. Your core genius is the ability to provide simplify complicated issues by creating proven systems, simple systems that are guaranteed to create dramatic growth for any company. So ladies, listen up. There's going to be some amazing wisdom coming here, because Susie's helped over 100,000 entrepreneurs increase their revenues by more than 3,000%, working with top business moguls, including John Assaraf, Lisa Nichols, love Lisa, Steve Harvey, Doug Carter, and Paul Mitchell. And her newest book, which is book number 10, Taking Flight Soon, Power Your Profit, is a bulletproof start to finish plan for taking your business from startup mode to the multi-million dollar mark. And obviously Susie's done this several times, so great information to learn from. And I know you suggested a few titles for today. I couldn't pick one because there's too many. So we could talk about how to reshape your relationship with money, how to convert your workers into business partners, uncover hidden profit gold mines sitting right under your nose, or create strategic partnerships so you never need to sell. I think I want to talk about them all. So let's dive in.
And I can come back again and again, right?
Well, let's dive in. Certainly, I do want to put emphasis on this reshaping your relationship with money, because I'm particularly interested in that myself. And right. I know many women in my community are, just from some of the coaching conversations that I've had myself. And also about hidden profit gold mines right under your nose. So maybe there's a couple there, but tell us the story. Like, where did you start out? How did you make this massive leap from working in a low-paid job to being a business mogul?
Well, I think it's important to know like where the beginning is, right? Because a lot of people, sometimes I forget to share where my beginning was. And, you know, assumptions. We all make assumptions when we meet people. You know, we usually form 11 different opinions about you in that first 15 seconds of meeting someone, speaking to someone. And so I grew up poor. And I don't mean poor like, we didn't know we were poor. No, we knew we were poor. We had 9 kids. There was Bobby, Ronnie, Stevie, Terry, Joni, Shelley, Susie, Kelly, Debbie. 9 kids, 2 adults, 11 people in 1,200 square feet, 6 girls, 1 bathroom,
whoa,
2 bedrooms. Right? I look at when did we sleep? Where did, like, but that house is so tiny when I go back there and look at it now. Like, how did we all fit? I know we were tinier humans back then than we now, but oh my goodness. And so I made a decision early on. I didn't want to live this way. Like everything was brown. And you know, if that meant that many people, it has to be brown because we're dirty, dirty little kids. And so I, you know, you grew up in the era. I grew up in the era watching soap operas and nighttime soap operas, you know, just seeing, wow, that lifestyle. Now I had never been in a house like that. I'd never seen a car, I'd never seen clothes like that, but I just knew I wanted something different. And when you grow up with that many people, everything, Yvonne, everything is a hand-me-down. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. Yeah. So I realized I have this wear fetish, and I'm like, what is my deal with underwear? Like, I was in Victoria's Secret one day, and I'm like, what? I don't need any more underwear, but that's the first, I will buy it just because we had to share underwear. Like, that was a hand-me-down. I'm like, I not want to wear anybody else's underwear in the history of my life. Our school shopping was Goodwill and at Girl Scouts. I never want to wear anybody used clothing again. Right? There's like, no, I want my own. Mm-hmm. And so growing up in a family, the gift that my dad gave me, he said, you can have whatever you want. Just go get a job from an early age. So, you know, at 10, 11, 12, I'm selling cookies. I'm selling Aunt Avon, and I'm selling any little thing that we could sell at that age. We sold, we cleaned, we babysat. I always had some kind of hustle to have some kind of money. And I was always the little saver and hoard my money to get money to go buy 10 pairs of underwear. And then I hid those underwear so nobody else could have those underwear, because that was my goal back then. And so it started there, right? The entrepreneurial spirit started there, is that was, you know, what am I going to do? My vocation is I was a hairdresser. And hairdressers at that time made, you know, about $30,000 a year. And I remember that the year that I really realized how much money I didn't make, it was $12,000. And I had one child at $12,000. I was in an abusive relationship. And I said, what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of myself on $12,000 a year? And so I realized that I figure out this thing, this book. So I started reading books. I went to the library. I went to used bookstores. Anywhere that I could get my hands on business books to understand. Because at that time in my industry, nobody was teaching business. And if they were teaching business, no disrespect, but it was an elderly white man, you know, who had no respect for young women, spoke down about hairdressers, down about who we were. And so it felt condescending. And I'm like, I'm going to change this one day. One day I'm going to be on that stage and I'm going to empower women, because I just felt so slimed and beat up. I didn't know what that meant back then when I said it, but that became another pivotal turning point for me. So I made $250,000 a year working 3 days a week as a hairdresser. And most, again, hairdressers make $30,000. So we bought a salon in San Diego, and we were the top 1% and the top 10% in the world. I wanted to raise the level of professionalism in my industry. I didn't want the conversation it was to be a hairdresser. Like, no, we're business people. And I'm making more money than my friends who had degrees and still did not get the same respect or adulation. And then people said, well, how do you make all that money? And I'm like, well, let me show you. I'll show you how you do it. You know, very similar to us having our little cocktails and our appies, you know, sitting down like, just let me show you. It doesn't have to be hard. And then someone said to me, well, do you have a book? Do you have a book? I'd buy a book. I'm like, no, I'm a hairdresser. I don't have a book. I'm like, maybe I need to write a book. So then I had to figure out how to write a book. Because my clients asked me. And then the only publisher in that industry rejected me. I don't know if you're this kind of person, Yvonne, but if you tell me no, I'm like, watch me. So yeah. I said, fine. You say no, I opened my own publishing company. And that's where we published all our work. It was Carter Creative Enterprises. And had the publishing company. And the caveat is, 15 years later, that same publisher that said no was the same publisher that paid me millions for my company 15 years later. So it was like the biggest, you know, payday. Like, you said no, but you said yes. Really just the journey of having to bootstrap, having to build a business, having to create my livelihood out of a need of being a single parent. Right. I did end up leaving that marriage because it was abusive, scared. Right. And I think that's part of my message, is never be in a position where you can't make a decision for yourself and your family. Right. Right? So I'm an advocate that women provide for themselves, take care of themselves. If they have a partner that takes care of them, supports them, that's awesome too. But never relinquish who you are to another human being, because then you're powerless. I have too many clients that have been powerless. And that breaks my soul. And only because I was in that same situation, not knowing how to get out, and then just deciding, I'm just going to get out. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to do it. Right? I think that's part of entrepreneurship, right? People are waiting to get all their ducks in a row. The ducks are never in a row. There's always, if you've seen ducks, they're always scrambling off somewhere. They're never in a row.
I think I just either wrote about that, or it was in a previous interview. I was talking about, you know, if you've got 80% of it done, just go.
Yeah.
Go, because it's never going to be perfect. And you learn so much more by doing it anyways.
Yes.
You don't even know the questions to ask until you do it half the time, which is why I'm a big fan of mentoring and do a lot of mentoring work as well.
Well, and theory is completely different than reality.
Yes, it is.
What I read in the book didn't necessarily 100% apply to my industry, but I had to do it to figure out, oh, this works, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, I have friends that have MBAs and their theory, it's funny. It's like, yeah, that's great in theory, but you go try that right now.
Yeah,
you know, especially
go to a page business plan, take 5 months to do it, and then see if it's still relevant.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, the economy being tumultuous. I think people allow that to dictate their plan. No, follow your plan. Do what you said you're going to do. Like, even in the harshest times and the hardest times is where people can really rise. It's the people that stay afloat. It's the people that keep in action. It's the people that pivot when a challenge comes. Like, that's entrepreneurship. We have to be able to pivot on a dime's notice, right? Each of us at every turn, whether you lose an employee or team member, they don't have to be an employee, team member. You know, if the economy drops, you got to pivot. If the economy goes up, you got to pivot. Like, how are we pivoting in the marketplace, whatever marketplace you're in?
Right. So, well, you and I were talking just before we started this session about live events. And, you know, I'm scheduled to do a live event, one of my Bold Women Lead events, May 12th. I don't know yet if the center I'm wanting to host it at is going to be open again or not. So I've just said, you know, it's going ahead anyway. And if we don't end up hosting live, we'll host it online and I'll just refund you the $32 that your breakfast was going to cost.
Exactly.
But we're still going to go ahead with it. And the rest of your investment in the session is going to be for the content and what you're going to take away in the way of conversation and relationships and new insights and research, because that's what the session is all about. So we pivot. Yeah.
Well, so, and maybe we can use that $32 to give, you know, a free download of one of your colleagues or your friends, or because, you know, to me that would be valuable than, you know, getting a refund. Like, who else can you expose us to, right? Just go,
okay, well, maybe we'll change that up.
Right. So when you look at, because it's going to cost money, you know, for advertising and online and hosting, and to go, wow, how can I pivot? I think that's what we want to do in these times, is we either want a discount or, wait, we still have our budget. We still have our marketing budget. We still have, there's other things that are going to come up that we don't know, hosting online versus offline. And whatever your business is, right? We're talking about Yvonne's, but just in general, to go, wow, how can I give people more value versus discounting, right? What are the unique things? And we forget as business owners, like, I look at my tribe, my community, the gems, the wow factor, even talking to you, and if you came into my tribe, just how wow people will be. And that's, you know, our connection. So I think don't underestimate who's in your circle of influence that you can bring or give or gift or share, you know, as an added value.
Well, see, last time I sat with you for, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour, and I learned a ton. Here we are. We've only been into the conversation 5 minutes and already I'm getting ideas bubbling up. But that's what you do. I really enjoyed having a chance to read through the draft copy of your book, because that is where the information comes to life. It's so practical. As I was reading through, particularly this chapter that was on staffing, I'm going check, 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 check. I mean, I spent 15 years in senior HR roles, interviewed and hired about 6,000 people in my career, put forward tons of different consultants for different projects. So, you know, resume writing, marketing, the whole piece. So it made a lot of sense. So we'll save that for the end to talk a little bit more about the book. So I'm interested to learn, you know, what are some of the myths as a female entrepreneur, or as a hairdresser even, rising up, that you've had to overcome?
Well, one is that you're being paid for your time, right? And we're not being paid for our time, right? Me as a business coach and a consultant, I'm being paid for my intellect, my intellectual property. I'm being paid for the results I help you create.
Right.
I'm being paid for the difference I make in your business. It's not about how many hours I spend on your business. Like, you don't care at the end of the day. If I say I'm going to double your sales and here's the price, you don't care if I spend 5 hours on that or 500 hours on that, right? It's like, double my sales, right? So my clients gave me, you know, the term profit coach, because like you said, they go, Susie, you just see money all around us and you find it all around us. God gave me this gift where I've always been able to see the money, right? See the money in little side hustle jobs, see the money in my own business. Now, I didn't necessarily know how to keep it when I was younger. That was the hard part because I like shoes, but really seeing it. So part of the, I think my biggest challenge was my worthiness, right? I didn't have a piece of paper on the wall. I didn't have a degree. I didn't have a formal education. I do have my PhD, which is my public high school diploma. And so a lot of people let that stop them. And for years, I would manage the conversation. It would stop me and then I would just do it anyways. It would confront me and I would do it anyways. And it was because I never left myself the back door open. I always shut the back door, meaning there was never this safety net. So many entrepreneurs have a safety net, whether it's a job and you're starting this side hustle. And so you never risk enough to be able to leave the job to do your side hustle, or you have a partner that supports you. And so you never risk big enough where you don't have to lean on that partner. I've always put myself in situations where I had to produce the result,
right?
Whether it's paying for something or having that goal or a stretch goal. You know, my husband and I built our training and development company together. So if we didn't make money, we didn't make money, right? So I think it's understanding that I had to just work on my self-worth, because my net worth will only go as high as my self-worth. And when I look at most entrepreneurs, we have what we call an upper limit conversation. And so you're comfortable to a limit, whether that's 200,000, a half a million, a million, 5 million, 10 million, whatever the number is. I feel like most entrepreneurs, it's once they hit that 200, that's the first upper limit. And then once, can they get to a million? Because there's something that happens, either you're not to leave people behind, or now it means something. And the reality is, if you make a million and you spend a million and one, you're still broke. And if we don't work on your mindset, if we don't work on, you know, the discipline, if we don't work on your worthiness, you'll sabotage it. It'll go away. So we've got to work on, that's just as important as the financial plan, is what's my belief system? What's my worthiness? I had to work on my worthiness so much. So that I didn't sabotage myself. And then when I did sabotage myself, at least I understand, oh, check you out. You're doing it again.
Well, the whole self-awareness piece is super important. And, you know, the first conversation you and I had, was in January. And at that point in time, I have a vastly different outlook than what I have 2 months later.
Yes.
And so that, you know, your conversation, and then the universe decided it was going to flood people into my life that were going to support me in a variety of different ways as I was rethinking some of the things that I now call excuses.
Yes.
And, you know, really step into taking.
But they were sexy in January. They were so sexy in January. Like, I think our excuses, we have Swarovski crystals on them, like we paint them pretty, like they're really good excuses. But like you just said, oh, I was calling them excuses, but they were real, you know.
Well, I used to say this to my dad growing up, who was a very mean man with, you know, PTSD and very mean. You know, there's a fine line, Dad, between a reason and an excuse. And I write about this in my, you know, Confident Conversations book, because I think it's all about the intention, right? An excuse is more of an intention to wiggle out of something that you know you should be doing or could be doing, versus a reason, which is typically very logical. There's just something that was completely unexpected that happened and mostly out of your control, and yet you're still working towards the goal. It's just going to maybe take a little bit longer, or it's going to be a different route to get from A to B. Again, I know I'm very big on the subtlety of language, whether it's, you know, should versus could. It has a different intention, a different energy, from obligation and should to positive lightness and choice in the word could. So yes, that was me doing some self-growth the first part of this year and stepping into a different vision. So thank you for spearheading that conversation with myself.
That's my pleasure.
So you've talked a little bit about some of the myths. How do you feel you've really leveraged your past life to your current reality? Like, it sounds like, you know, 9 kids growing up, everything brown, to the colorful person that I know today, multimillionaire, business success, profit coach. There's still, I think, a big gap in terms of learning, you know, other than resilience, which is obviously a huge part and a key trait, very, very valuable. What else do you think contributed to that that rise to success?
So resilience, yes. Risk is number 2, right? I risked it all to get it all, right? Like when clients said, do you have a book? No. Okay, I'm going to write a book.
Right.
And I didn't know how to do that. So everything I'm saying, I didn't know how to do, but there's education everywhere.
Yep.
So I went and got a book to figure out how to write a book. Right. And then I got a coach to help me write the book. And then I got an editor. So I risked and I invested in myself. Benjamin Franklin says, take the coins from your purse, invest them in your mind, and your mind will fill your purse overflowing. So I may only have my high school diploma, but I have an amazing education. If I got sued, I went and took a business law class. If I wanted to raise money and I raised $2 million for one of my companies that I owned, I went and took a class on SEC and how to raise money and how to raise money legally and what documents do I need to put together. And look, Yvonne, I had to take that class 7 times. It was like they were speaking Greek. And I'm having to open my eyeballs like, I don't understand what they're saying. And they were spitting it out so fast. You know, talking about the SEC and talking about, you know, PPMs. And I'm like, I don't even know. The EIEIO, I don't know what you're talking about. Just be patient with myself so I could figure it out. So education is the foundation of everything that I do.
Right.
The first business book I read was The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. And I think every entrepreneur has read that book.
Yep.
And so from day one, starting my little hair salon business, me all by myself, I said, how do I systematize this? Then those very same systems I created for myself, I started selling them to the industry. Because you, as a business owner, you come to me like, how did you get your team to do that? Oh, I taught them the system. Oh, I taught them this system. And they're like, can we buy that? I'm like, how much will you pay for it? That was my pricing strategy. And they're like, I'd pay $99, sold, and then I'd sell 10 of them, right? I'd come home like, I sold $1,000. No strategy at all, right? Just that whole somebody wanted something, but I did it for myself first. I created the foundation for myself first,
right?
And then really, once I figured out, oh, let's put this strategy together for the training and development company. And again, nobody was teaching behind the black curtain then. How do you set prices for speaking? How do you, you know, build your product suite? How do you bundle? We had to make all that up. And really, I was making it up on stage.
Yep.
You know, going, oh, they want that. I would sell it on stage, sell $10,000, come home, talk to my partner. I sold $10,000 of this, but I gave us 6 weeks to produce. I was smart enough to say, you'll get it in 6 weeks. Drove my partner crazy. But, you know, when you need money, you make money. You're like, I got to make money. Now, I don't recommend doing that. I just didn't have a coach to map it all out for me.
I'm laughing with you, not at you, obviously, because you're taking me back to a talk I did a couple of years ago. It was in front of the Fearless Women Edmonton group, and it was, you know, 500 women. And at the time they had, at the time I booked it, they had said, "Do you want a table at the back?" I'm sure. Thinking, you know, I would have my books by this time. I would have workshops and a whole bunch of things, but particularly my book. And that was March. And my book ended up coming out in end of September. So I had already, I knew the title, I knew the content. I'd gone through a number of edits. It was what I thought was in the final edit and proofreading. Took way longer than I thought, life experience. And I had pre-sold 85 books at that event, and I didn't even have the book.
Right.
And so that weight of responsibility was really, really weighing on me until it was actually live. And of course, it hit bestseller the next day, which was, you know,
overnight
success. Yes.
Yes.
not because of the 85, but because of the other sales as well. But it was, you never know exactly how long these things are going to take until you go through it once.
Right.
But once you have done it once, then obviously it's much, much easier. to be able to share. You know, I have clients now saying, well, how did you do that? Well, let me tell you, you know, you start with getting up at 5 o'clock every morning, doing meditation for half an hour, download the information after that, and you just type like crazy for an hour, and then you wait to happen.
Yeah.
Every day for 9 months. And then it takes probably another 9 months to edit and proof and edit and proof and get it actually printed. So,
right.
Yeah. But the whole learning curve around self-publishing, I mean, I opted to self-publish because I wanted to be able to donate one book for everyone sold to a women's foundation, shelter, or not-for-profit. And I just couldn't do that with the model for a traditional publishing house. Okay. So that's, you know, hugely rewarding when I give a stack of 10 books to a women's foundation.
Right.
So as far as other experiences go, let's talk a little bit about this whole topic of scalability, because obviously systems and scalability go hand in hand. Yes. And yet, I think that there's also a lot of other learnings about, you know, how do you move from, say, 200,000, you use that as a threshold, to the first million? Like, what are some of the key things that women need to be paying attention to or learning about?
Perfect. Well, 15% of our financial success is based on our technical ability. So if, when I was a hairdresser, only 15% of my success was me being the hairdresser. Right. The other 85% was the other piece of the business. Me now as a speaker, a business coach, that's only 15% of my success. The rest is my sales, my marketing, my operations, and my finance.
Right.
So the first person I hire immediately when I start a company is the operations person. Because if I'm busy being the technical person, I have to have someone managing the day-to-day. You don't have to hire that person full-time, but that person is the detail person. They're making sure nothing falls through the cracks. They're collecting the money, putting the money in the account, you know, doing your follow-up campaigns, all those things that you need, right? Whether it's part-time, full-time, or full-time, full-time, right? Now, some people can split and be the operations and the technician. I just find it's too chaotic, yeah. Right? I would much rather, if you're the technician, get out and speak more, go sell, be in front of clients, do discovery calls, whatever your sales process is, do more of that so mm-hmm. that raise the money to bring someone else in to do the other stuff that needs to happen.
Right.
So the first thing that we have to do as business owners, which most business owners resist, is put the business plan together. It doesn't have to be an elaborate. There's two kinds of business plans. One is a working plan. This is the plan that you're living, eating, sleeping, breathing by. It's internal. It's for you and your team. The second one is a capital plan. The capital plan has to be more detail oriented. You have to have more if then what scenarios in there, because we're raising money from strangers or, you know, friends and family. They want to see the ROI, the return on investment. They want all the statistics and the failure rate and the success rate and all that stuff. An internal plan, I don't need that. I already know. 80% of entrepreneurs fail in the first 5 years. That's all I need to know. How am I going to succeed? And so it's putting your sales plan, your marketing plan, your financial plan, and then how are you going to operationally work that business. So it's high level, but it's very detailed, but it's different than the capital plan. Then allows me to see who am I going to need first year, second year, third year, fourth year, or if you look at financial jumps, I always look at financial jumps, right? So from zero to a million, you'll have your operations person, you'll have you as the technician, you'll have an assistant or two, right? And those people are doing your social media. They're doing the minutia stuff, right? They're a lower paid person. The operations are higher paid, and then you are obviously the highest paid. Once you go from a million to, then you'll start hiring a marketing team. I might have marketing as a project under a million, but I'm not hiring a team. Nobody's on a full-time retainer or any kind of retainer until I hit after that million. Everybody else can be on project. Right. So my business plan tells me that. So this last year in 2019, so I was running one of the largest training and development companies. I was running Lisa Nichols' company. I took that company from 80,000 to 10 million. And so I just resigned from that position in 2018. So 2019, I relaunched my brand. We went from zero to 1.3 million in a year. That's hyper growth. But I just followed my plan. I followed my book, right? What do I need to do? This year, our goal is, now I'm going to give you two, because we always have two goals. We have a must and we have a stretch. The must is 3 million. The stretch is 5 million. So my operations manager and I, when I put the plan together, we sat down and I said, where are we going to have the breakdown? Because we will have breakdown. We're going to have breakdown. You cannot have that kind of growth without breakdown. Who are we going to need? Who are the people? What systems do we need to put in place? And we did that in October. So in October, we put that plan together. So come January, we're not saying like, oh my gosh, we're going to have breakdown. So we figured out what people we needed, what team we needed. And of course, we're in March, there's breakdown. But because we knew there was going to be breakdown, we're looking at, well, where did the breakdown occur and why did it occur? So we're realizing now that one person that we hired is a weak link. And they go, okay, that person's a weak link. So now they're on an improvement plan. You're either in or you're out, right? You either improve or I gotta let you go. I love you, I support you, but here's the breakdown, right? So I think for the most part, we sit inside being held hostage by our employees or team members or contractors, or because we're nice, especially women. We tend to be more gracious. We tend to have a longer leash. We tend to be more understanding of schedules and I don't knows. And I'm just learned. I don't know either. And I figure it out. So you either figure it out or I got to find somebody else. And that's, I'm not being harsh. That's just reality of, you know, you're spending a ton of money. Like, let's manage the breakdown quicker, faster.
Yeah. Well, I always find that, you know, when you hire for values, and then you train on the skills if needed, it's much easier than trying to do it the other way around.
Yes.
I used to coach hiring managers on this, you know, especially in the IT world, which was fast-paced, high growth when I was in it 20 plus years ago. And they'd say, just need a C++ developer. Well, you do. And if we're going to be investing all this time going through the interview process, let's find one that's going to stick around for a long time that you can actually have on multiple projects, not just a one-time wonder.
Right.
And if you, you know, if you think it's black and I think it's white, we're never going to agree in the middle that it's gray, because that's your values and that's been shaped through your life experiences and beliefs. So start with the values and then train them if you need to, because if they're smart, they'll pick it up. If they're dedicated, they'll pick it up, or they'll work longer hours in order to do the learning. So it's absolutely key. And especially obviously in a smaller company, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. I agree with that 190%. I can't train integrity. I can't train compassion. I can't train, you know, work ethic. That's either there or not there.
Yeah.
Right? I can train you.
I think I remember having that conversation with a previous boss of mine when I was working in a VP of corporate services role, and we had an evaluation process, and it was like a 1 to 5 ranking, and integrity was one of the things on the list. And I said, well, how do you, like, you either have it or you don't. It's not a scale, right? You're not part-time with integrity. You either are or you're not living in integrity.
Right.
Yeah. Great points. So your passion for business emerged, and I think also you're doing some other things that are into the social enterprise arena as well as you're growing, if I recall. Yeah, what else is it you're doing in the community too?
Yeah, so I, very similar to your belief, you know, I believe in giving back to my community, right? I don't have a dollar amount, I don't have a percentage, right? Because sometimes the percentage is 10%, sometimes it's more. But it's really about supporting women in their businesses, right? So there's a couple projects that I invest in. So I have a young man in Kenya, which is one of my clients. She has Schools Without Borders, and she, you know, I'm paying for his high school education, right? So I write a check, he's paying education. His goal is to be a doctor, right? And that's just one of the gives I do. There's another company that I give to called Just Like My Child. And we support girls in the value of their education, the value of their own body and personal hygiene, right? So again, this organization is globally. So she started originally in Africa and now it's a global movement. So we sponsor 10 girls for the year in supporting them and their cause. And then I have one-offs, right? So Halise Bridges, she's the founder of Difference Makers International. And it's the little blue ribbon that says Who I Am Makes a Difference. And So I donate to that organization every year, and that helps youth and kids to learn how to speak their voice, not be bullies, you know, learn how to appreciate, have integrity-based conversations, learn to speak their mind in a place of dignity and respect to elders and their parents. So I'm just committed to my community, my youth, we as women, you know, always looking for what are their ways that we can play and help, right? I've got a couple projects. I'm on the board of Million Women Mentors, where we mentor young business women to be us, right? I'm a little more seasoned, you know, in life. So I get to give back like all that stuff we wish we would have had. I didn't have access to that. One was my community. One, I just didn't know it was available. So how can we give back, you know, to our emerging leaders that are coming up?
Yeah. Fabulous. Well, I knew there was a number of things. I just didn't have all the names to be referencing. So, you know, thank you for taking that approach of, you know, remembering all the time, you know, where did I come from? How did I get here? You know, what were some of those amazing systems and learnings that I have brought forward for the huge success of my own company? And how can I keep connected with, you know, you have nine of you, eight brothers and sisters.
Right.
It doesn't surprise me that you have a focus on helping youth in particular. So, you know, great that you're doing that. So tell me a little bit about the book launch, because I'm super excited. I have my copy here.
Yay. And you'll be getting another fun little box. So it's called Power Your Profits. And this is my journey of building, you know, multi-million dollar businesses for myself, you know, and then for my clients. And it's, what are all the things I wish I would have known? What are the things that people didn't tell me? Or what did I get smacked on the head with from my learning lessons to go, let me lay it out. You know, I've tried to make it funny. I've tried to put my own stories in it. I've tried to, you know, it's a business book. So I'm like, how do I bring this business book alive? You know, as much like I do in my trainings, because I'm teaching finance and business finance, and people would rather poke their eyes out then deal with that. So I always say math is money and money is fun. We all love what money does for us. So it's people, you know, a roadmap. It's a blueprint to building a multi-million dollar business. And that's my goal, is how do I take this complicated thing called this business systems, business strategy, and simplify it so that you have a roadmap to go, oh, this is what I need. Every chapter has an assessment. So you can see, where are you great at and what's your underdeveloped strength? So whatever you're great at, you're great at it. We don't need to focus on that. Let's focus on the things that you're not great at, or hire people that can do those things. So at least you're not going in blind. I went in blind so much because, you know, ignorance on fire, because ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. I just didn't know what I didn't know. So my goal is, let me help you know what you don't know, so then you can know and we can do something about it.
Yeah.
Right. Because now you can't say, because once I stretch your mind, once I open you up to that, you can't go back to not knowing. We can never go back to not knowing. It's like when you jump on that scale, you know, but you don't know. Then you get on that scale and you're like, God dang it. Now I really know I can't eat the Cheetos or whatever it is you're eating or drinking.
Well, I definitely connect with the, you know, math is money, money is fun. Because, you know, I think out of the last course that I took when I was in business management up at USC, the very last one I took, I was 6 months pregnant by the time I finished it. It was microeconomics. I mean, there was macro and microeconomics. And it was like, really? I'm going to have to put that to the very, very end. And by the time I was 6 months pregnant, I mean, I definitely wanted to finish it. I was motivated to finish it. I'd passed the 3 month of, you know, being sick and stuff. And so I had that one. And then I also had career management, which was being led by an 80-year-old professor who herself had become a professor in her early 70s. So she was the perfect person to be teaching a course about, you know, you're never too old to learn. You're never too old to go back into something that you really love, re-educate yourself, and, you know, no excuses. And 80 at that point wasn't the, you know, the younger 80 that it is today.
That's not young, but that's awesome, right? What an inspiration. I want to be that 80-year-old lady, right? I don't want to be, there's so many people that are 80 just watching TV. I don't want to be that person. I want to keep doing something and contributing to humanity. I believe, Yvonne, that my gift from God is my life, and my gift back to God is what I make of my life and the difference that we make. And along the way, I believe that we should prosper from our gifts, our talents, our tithing back to our community, right? That's the law of reciprocity, is it will come back tenfold.
Yep.
And so my hope, my goal, my whole purpose of this book is, let me show you what no one showed me. Let me show you what I've had to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to do, so that wherever you're at, whether you're a startup business or whether you're an emerging business or whether you're a sustained business, you know, there's an opportunity for you. So right. Really, chapter 8 is called Math is Money, Money is Fun, because it was so hard for me. I didn't understand. I would meet with my accountant and there'd be two P&Ls. One said I had money. One didn't say I had money. And I'm like, do I have money or do I not have money? They're like, well, you do, but you don't. That's not an answer. But quit talking Shakespeare to me. I either have it or I don't.
Well, the equity sheet is different.
Exactly.
Sheet.
But that's how they talk. They would just circle talk. I'm like, okay, but do I have it or don't I?
And then the other thing is, well, not the other thing, but at the end of the day, when you're a small business owner, I mean, cash flow is king, right?
King.
Yes. Don't ask for the money when you need the money. Go right. Ask for the line of credit when you don't.
You don't need it. Exactly. But you don't learn that until you learn that, right? Until we've been in those situations. Or luckily, you were fortunate enough to go to, I wasn't, there's 9 of us. Nobody went to college. Right. My children were the first children in our family to go to college.
Well, you know what happened is actually I got hired by an IT company. And at that point in time, I got hired as a office manager. And at that point in time, I remember my boss telling me, you know, on paper, you're the most underqualified person that applied for this job, and yet you're also the person that I see as being the most likely to succeed. So that's why I'm hiring you. And that got proven out way later when the company did have a cash flow crisis. And instead of everybody getting laid off, we decided everyone was going to take a particular, you know, small percentage pay cut. And that way we could keep all of our talented workers that I'd worked so hard to bring on board, because I was then doing a HR director job.
Yes.
And at the time, it was really a bit of a wake-up call. And I thought, holy smokes, I almost lost my job there. And I have no paper. I have nothing on paper. So that was when I went back to school. That was my trigger. And then, of course, later on in life, 10 years ago, going to the to Royal Roads and taking my executive coach certification, you know, I had a lot of people there in the room saying, oh, you know, I have an MBA, I have a PhD, I have this, yeah. I have that. And I was thinking, oh, am I in the right room? You know,
right.
I can be here. And yet over and over again, my experience being in a senior HR role as a VP in a global talent management firm, which was my previous job to that course, was really what led to some great conversations about how to actually bring coaching into the workplace. You know, how do you set up an assessment? How do you do an employee engagement survey when the leadership really doesn't want to make change and they're not committed to it, but they want to do a survey. So lots of learnings, and life is a huge education. I mean, that's where we have our biggest learnings, and one of the reasons I love mentoring as well. So
I think one of the best exercises that we can do, I do it every year, is I create my badass list, right? So what's all the stuff that I did this year? Right. So I have all the years, like here's this year to look at, because we do, like, your skill set, that expertise is what people are paying for, not a piece of paper on the wall. The piece of paper helps, and it's credibility, and that's lovely. And I'm not discounting that at all. It's very important. And I have a ton of piece of papers from, because I did the same thing. Let me get this certification. Let me get that certification. Let me get this certification, that certification. Right. So there's different kinds of paper. And then realizing that if you just put that list together, like this year we went from no press at all to over 8,000 outlets, right? New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Huffington Post, CBS, CNBC, this crazy press this year because of what we're doing. what I'm doing in business, what I'm doing for social causes, right? What I've done for my companies, to go, oh, what are the things that you have done this year? And look at a fiscal year, like a trailing 12 months, wherever you are. In the last 12 months, what are the wow things that you've done for yourself, for your business, for your community, for your clients, and even for you personally, right? Because some people, just taking a vacation is a big deal, right? That's honoring yourself. That's taking care of you. Because if we don't take care of ourselves, then there's no way I can serve you.
Right.
So I think using that as a skill set to look at, oh, these are all the skill sets. When I go back and look at it, I'm like, I have some amazing certifications, right? Because I have the year and what are they? And I'm like, I even forgot I did that. Like, no wonder I can do all this stuff.
I even forgot.
Right. I even forgot how great I am.
So I'm sure that there are lots of listeners who are now wanting to know, where do they get the book? So is it available at suzycarter.com, or is it launching soon? Where can they get it?
Yeah, so it's everywhere, right? So it's suzycarter.com, and that's C-A-R-D as in dinero, for dollar, E-R.com. There's also the title of your book, poweryourprofitsbook.com. You can get on Amazon, you can get on Books a Million, and it's going to be under poweryourprofits.com. Now, here's the caveat. If you go to Amazon and Books a Million or Barnes & Noble, you want to go back to poweryourprofitsbook.com and put in your code, because that will give you, it's about $5,000 worth of bonuses that we're giving. So we're giving a five-day challenge away. We're giving a Power Your Profit webinar away. I'm giving a ton of bonuses away. I'm giving you some of the, I have a ton of assessments and templates in here. So I'm giving you six of my favorite ones as a bonus, you know, for buying the book. So again, I believe in giving. When you come with a servant heart and you give, you'll receive. So you're paying $28 for a book, and I'm going to give you $5,000 worth of bonuses. So I think that is a bonus day. So if you buy it on Amazon, then just go pack in and put your code in, and then you'll get access to all those bonuses for being a great listener, you know, of Yvonne's, and being in our tribe, right? I say our tribe because people that listen and absorb this kind of content are the people we love serving.
Absolutely. Well, I have learned a ton today, so now I'm itching to go off and create my badass list.
I can't wait to see your badass list, girl, because it's going to be bad. And then we're going to raise your price because you're so bad.
Okay, all those people who are in my discovery visioning calls right now, pay attention.
Because you'll have some homework too.
Well, I always learn a ton as I'm doing these interviews, and most importantly, love the opportunity to showcase amazing women who have risen from some sort of tragedy to triumph, chaos to confidence, as you have done, and showcase some of the nuggets of learning along the way, because it's super powerful to create that massive ripple, and you never know where one little nugget is going to have a massive ripple effect and really impact a lady who is needing a little bit more confidence or an inspiring story right now. So thank you, Suzy, for joining me today. Any last words before we can disconnect here?
So I would say the thing that stops people from trying is your fear. And fear leads you to believe that where you are right now is the safe place and going forward is the risk. But the truth is, you're always at risk when you're standing still.
Yeah.
Risk of stagnating. But more importantly, risk of missing out on your own destiny.
Yeah.
So have fear in one hand, courage in the other. And I say, girlfriend, jump.
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 All right. Well, thank you so much, Suzy. I look forward to staying connected with you. And I will post some of these codes in the replay links. And thank you so much. Have a fabulous day. Have a fabulous month. And go with that launch. It's going to be awesome.
I appreciate you.
Take care then.
Okay, bye.
Bye for now.